All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, we've been looking to the cosmos, essentially, to choose our games in terms of randomness.
Yes.
And I purport that the history of humanity is so long, and our meager conceptions as to how much we can internalize and remember is so narrow that no one can actually keep history in mind. So history itself is the unknown.
Okay. Yeah. Think about how many notable things happened, but nobody was there to take note of them.
Exactly. Right. How many years have you forgotten, Cole?
Oh, many of them. Yeah.
Not like a whole year. Like, you might remember something that happened every year of your life, but if you took the months and months in which you have no memories from them and added them together, you're going to die and remember something like 60% of your life.
Yes.
It's wild.
Yeah. Although the ability to forget is a blessing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true. So what we're going to do is, instead of going, you know, into randomness, we're going to read this History of the World book from the beginning.
Okay.
And then whatever era that we stop being able to recite from the beginning, like when our memory, we can't hold our human history anymore.
Okay.
Then we're going to put that word in the game computer and find out what comes up.
Okay. All right.
So let's go to our study carols.
Let's see here. Yeah. Okay.
Did you have study carols as a?
Yeah.
A study carol.
I always thought it was spelled like the name Carol, and I was very confused. I thought, is she the one who invented that?
I don't want to.
Yeah.
I'll study her later.
Yeah, but it's the combination desk cubicle that swept the nation. I worked in an office, I would have killed for.
I'm gonna get a study carol if I'm ever like a billionaire and have like a really nice house. I'll have a room with a study carol in it.
Yeah,
a card catalog.
Is study carol the Steve's like nerdy brother?
Nope.
No. Okay.
So let's read the book.
Okay. Silently or
yeah, but you have to remember it. So when you first forget something, okay, that's where you stop.
Okay. All right.
It's a really big book.
I'll put like Vivaldi's The Spring behind this or something that sounds
reading music.
Eternal, that's weird. Okay. Nope, trip me up.
Put the era you're in the game computer here.
Okay.
And let's figure out what games are related to that time period.
Okay. All right.
This wasn't a stretch.
Not at all.
This made more sense in my head before I realized I had to put it into words.
Okay. Yeah.
And then got, you know, and got to lay out the
mechanics of the situation that you put out there.
Yeah. Got a little strained, you know, in my head. Yeah. I was like, okay. And then just, yeah.
Bam. Well, I also went straight for the word that's in the title of the game. So it's, I don't know that what? I was the best partner here.
No, you did great. I honestly blame myself.
Okay.
And then I think I get 90% of the blame.
Okay.
And the rest of it, is going to go to, Oliver North.
Mm.
I place the rest of the blame on Oliver South.
Mm.
Oliver North's southern cousin.
Yep.
It's the Civil War, brother versus brother. But let's put the era here that you forgot into the game computer and find some games that deal with that era.
Okay. Beep, 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 beep.
Okay, I only got to the caveman times.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I didn't. I did bad.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot of history, man.
Yeah.
So let me slip through caveman games, Joe and Mac. Now let's instead do Eternal Champions.
Yeah, let's do that.
I'm bad about this randomization.
That's fine.
Can we do some aftercare for a second? I feel like I really fucked it up. I have a weird energy today and didn't get a lot of sleep, and I'm just not doing great.
Yeah, no. So the thing that I know about performing is if you mess up, what you need to do is stop and draw as much attention to it as possible.
Yeah. Especially like if you're playing in a band,
mm-hmm,
and you're at the wrong chord, definitely start the song over.
Right.
Because everybody in the audience wants that.
Everybody is clamoring for the newest hit. Wait a minute. No.
From the top end, from the top. I'm Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Abject Suffering. I'm Gary Butterfield, and technically it's Ebophilia.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a rough one. I responded. I was like, that's fucking brutal. And they're like, I can delete it if you want. And I'm like, no, it's okay. I appreciate the brutality. A little guppy energy sneaking into Abject Suffering right there.
Woof. So this week we're talking about Eternal Champions. This was a patron request by David, who says, a funky fighter that has a lot of flavor and options for its time, 1993, but they forgot to fine tune its core mechanics. I wonder how many people remember Eternal Champions if they were alive around the time that it came out.
Well, I remember it a lot.
They advertised it so much. Like they bought out like GamePro and EGM. The ads were all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah. And big transmedia kind of push with comics and stuff, spinoff games.
Game books, Gary. There are Eternal Champion game books.
Which I'm going to hunt down.
Yeah.
Because I've discovered I am an Eternal Champions fan.
You said, hey, actually this game owns. This was before I sat down to play it. And I sat down to play it and I was like, oh yeah, this is actually like not the shitty like Mortal Kombat Killer Instinct thing that I thought it was.
Mm-mm. No, it's like a shitty Street Fighter 2.
Yeah,
but it has a lot of like quirks to it. In my my very first podcast, the Butterfield Family Dinocast, we did an episode that was a tournament that we held.
Mm.
It was like live audio from a tournament of Eternal Champions Challenge from the Dark Side.
Okay,
the Sega CD sequel of this.
Yeah.
So. I've never, you know, we didn't go deep in on the lore then, like we're undoubtedly going to now.
Yeah.
But I have some experience podcasting about the Eternal Champions.
So, I mean, you played this when you were a kid. Do you remember being as into it back then?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Like I was a big Street Fighter kid. So, consequently, I was a big Street Fighter clone kid.
Yeah.
And, when I would go over to my cousins who had, the Sega. My Sega cousin,
mm-hmm,
who ironically was like richer than I was.
Oh,
like my cousin had money. That doesn't feel right.
No,
I feel like he was slumming it.
Yeah.
With the Genesis, but the,
that might've been new money.
Yeah. That's my guess. Some kind of like a specific kind of Euro trash.
Yeah. the nouveau riche cannot shake off their inherent Sega kidness. But now that I have money, I will buy the TV tuner for it.
The Nomad. No Nomad's where I'm from. So I'd go over there and play this, and he did not have the 6-button controllers.
Okay.
But, like any of these games, and more so than most fighting games, I got really obsessed with the roster.
Yeah.
Because I think this has an incredibly powerful and cool roster, and mm-hmm, I used to draw these characters.
Oh, yeah.
I had favorites. I never beat it as a kid. The gimmick to the end boss is that he comes back to life a bunch of times.
Mm-hmm.
So I never beat it as a kid.
Hmm.
But I did play the fuck out of it. I drew these characters in notebooks.
They're very.
I am an Eternal Champions fan.
Yeah, you're a champion for Eternal Champions. Yeah, they're, mm-hmm, like there's very much. So I didn't just have like how to draw Marvel comics the Marvel way, but I had, mm-hmm, like it was kind of a knockoff. I had one of those as well, and it had generic superheroes and supervillains in it. I need to find it, you know, to actually see if this is like a thing that people know about. This reminds me of that, of like the people who were in there.
Yeah. It was, all the characters were designed by a real Ernie Chan, who I did not know, but he's a Batman.
Gotcha.
Artist.
Yeah, I can see that.
I created all of these characters. Unfortunately, died in 2012. Rest in peace.
Hmm.
Eternal Champion King.
Yeah.
So this is not the first fighter, as far as I know, where it's like all the characters came from different time periods.
Time Killers, probably.
Yeah, Time Killers. I don't know if this predates Time Killers or not.
Don't know.
But it's cool. Like, I like the concept of this. Like, all the characters are heroic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not like, oh, there's Mataros about. Like, no, it's everyone is good. They all got rescued from, like, being Final Destinationed.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and they're going to, like, come back to life to save the world. They're varied. Like, you play as a bunch of weirdos in this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, various cyborgs, mermen, vampires.
Yeah.
You know?
But they're also things ones like that don't make an awful lot of sense. Like the CIA, like, biochemical scientist or whatever from 1967 who looks like a shadow runner.
Yeah.
Midnight is his name. Yeah.
Oh, is Midnight the Midnight? Oh no, that's
Mitchell. Middleton
Midnight is the vampire.
Ooh.
Yeah, he's a vampire.
Okay.
He using that science powers, he gave himself vampirism and has a bunch of cool vampire powers.
Oh, nice. Yeah. But like when we say it's like varied, like one of the guys is, his name is Larson Tyler. He's a cat burglar who used to work in 1920s Chicago. So like it's got kind of an Al Capone mobster vibe kind of thing.
Also the star of Chicago Syndicate, the Game Gear spinoff.
Oh yeah.
Of this. We have like an Atlantean. My character is Xavier Pendragon, of course, because he's a little D&D kid.
Yeah.
Who was a cool little warlock who was going to get burned for witchcraft in Salem, gets saved from it.
Yeah.
From this, and has a bunch of cool spells, like can teleport, shoot beam, shit like that.
Yeah. My guy was Rax Coswell, the Muay Thai fighting cyborg from 2345. I didn't see his backstory or anything, but he was pulled back. I picked him because his name, Rax, Rax is also the name of a defunct fast food chain that used to be around here. Yeah. Rax. They had a salad bar and they sold roast beef sandwiches.
He's a cyber fighter who, in order to stay relevant, underwent a bunch of painful surgeries and got his implants.
Yeah.
Previous to that, he was just a normal fighter. I get him confused with Blade, Jonathan Blade, who is the bounty hunter, like cool, like thick cable.
Thick cable.
Who's the other future guy?
Huh.
I also like how the representative from the time this came out from 1993 is an assassin, assassin ninja.
Yeah, like we had, in 1993, the salad days of the Clinton administration.
Yeah, the Clinton administration. Speaking of which, in the sequel, the like quasi sequel to this, like Eternal Champions 1.5 on the Sega CD, they had a bunch of new characters, which are all pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And there is some like Clinton references in the character known as the Senator.
This predates Metal Gear Rising Revengeance.
Oh, by
at least two decades. Yeah.
Yeah. So by quite a bit. And you have a Senator character whose fatalities in this, which are called overkills, we'll talk about overkills, of course, all based on like Americana and shit. So like you fight in front of a McDonald's and one of your things is you drop a nuclear bomb on the person. And the other one is you teleport them on top of the Washington Monument to impale them, which is awesome.
Yeah. Gory as fuck. This is a very gory game. And something that I love about all of these kills is usually at the very end, the heart is still beating.
Yeah. And it's shaped like a Valentine's Day heart.
Yeah.
It's not shaped like an organ. It's shaped like a little, like a Zelda pickup. That makes me very happy.
You skipped an important detail, which is when the Senator fires his nuke that comes in, it doesn't just like, fly out of, anywhere, some cornfield in Iowa. The Capitol Rotunda, like that big circular roof dome opens up.
So that's where we keep our nukes.
Yep. It's it just fires out of the Congress building. And that's just like a very subtle like background detail. Like it's kind of the actual image is kind of washed out because of like atmosphere or whatever. There is so much inventiveness and like good comic timing in these these ultra kills or whatever they are.
Yeah, they're very fun.
Yeah,
the overkills, like watching a compilation of them, because I eventually got I think Mortal Kombat 4 was the last Mortal Kombat that I, or maybe the one that came out was the last one I enjoyed watching the compilations of fatalities.
There's something like, weird about them switching to polygons that are yeah. like actual 3D models that ended up making that feel less satisfying.
Yeah, like the new ones, it's also just like, where do you go, right? Like the new ones that are like, let's, you know, we've bisected, we've trisected, we've quadsected, mm-hmm. you know, but what if we get the Mach 5 on this shit? Like there's a little bit of maximalism to it.
Yeah.
But these ones I find very charming because they're pixels.
Mm-hmm. Very good sprite art, mostly in the Sega CD version. I think the Sega CD version of this is fucking beautiful, actually.
Yeah, it's really good looking. Yeah. It plays better too. It is the way to play this game. It's not perfect. Mm-hmm. It's like a little, it's stiffer than Street Fighter, but like, you know, Sega's not as good a developer as Capcom.
Yeah.
Like, you know, not surprising. Like the way that these work, these overkills, is instead of being tied to the character, they're tied to the stage.
Mm-hmm.
So they involve using a portion of the stage, and these can range from something as bland as like just knocking somebody into a fan in the background, to like really creative and fun, like the caveman character, who a T-Rex comes over and just like takes a bite out of your opponent.
Yep. No, for the caveman one, my favorite is when the pterodon picks up the person's body and just drops them into a volcano.
Yeah, deposits them into a
just gingerly.
A volcano.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're very funny. Like they're meant to be funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like Larson Tyler, the ex-cat burglar guy. Mm-hmm. He's got he is in front of a theater in Chicago, and 20 Chicago is a stage.
Mm-hmm.
And he has two overkills, one of which he stands there while a mob hit goes out on the person who you're fighting. Well, he does a drive-by and shoots them.
Yeah.
And then he like triple taps them.
No, like, so yeah, like the you know, the car drives by, you know, guys hanging out the window with a Tommy gun, you know, shoots him, and you think, okay, that's it. But then no, it's not cutting away. Here comes the car again, heading in the other direction, shooting him again, and then it mm-hmm. passes by for a third attempt.
Yeah, they get the third pass.
Yeah,
and which the hilarious so awesome.
The hilarious thing is that the ticket attendant is, you know, standing in the background, completely unfazed by what's happening.
Yep. Except for the second overkill that they introduced in the Sega CD version, where she like busts through the window, shoots the person on the ground with
a pistol,
a couple pistol shots, then pulls out a shotgun and Resident Evil beheads them.
Yep.
And this isn't a character or anything.
It's just a background thing. So like imagine in Guile stage of some of those troops, like, you know, sitting in the back and cheering on, like eventually got in on the action is kind of what this is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
They're very fun. They're hard to pull off. Like the character, you don't have very much time. You have to be in the right position
mm-hmm.
to do it. So it's based on where you are on the stage. It's not just the button presses.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we skipped the best one because one of the characters is a circus acrobat, and mm-hmm. in her stage, what happens is, like, you know, the fighter disappears for this, a cannon in the background fires. You think, okay, what's a shooting? What it has done is launched up a clown car, full of clowns,
mm-hmm.
not just a clown car,
serial killer clowns specifically. Yes. Like they all have evil faces.
Yeah. So you mean like Sweet Tooth, the serial killer clown?
He's a serial killer clown. That's Sweet Tooth.
Yeah.
Those are three Sweet Tooths. Serial killer clowns.
But the car lands on your character, you know, lands on the loser. You think, okay, that's fun. You see the blood puddle coming out, but then one of the clowns honks the bicycle horn that's on the side of the car, and a bunch of blood squirts out.
Yeah, it's good. Like if you appreciate pixel violence,
yeah,
this is your fucking game.
The little animated scenarios that they put in show such a good understanding of comic timing. It's really surprising, actually.
Well. And even like that aside, like we play a lot of fighting games, right?
Yes.
Like because of this show, I have played more fighting games than I ever would have thought. Yeah, I would have played.
Right, right.
This is pretty competent. Like mm-hmm. it's not Street Fighter. It's not Marvel versus Capcom. Mm-hmm. But I like how this controls better than Mortal Kombat significantly. Like I like how this feels.
Yeah, like
it feels like less stiff. You hold back to block. There's none mm-hmm. of that run button horse shit.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, like it's not as fluid as I want to be, but it is a damn sight more fluid than like a Killer Instinct, right? Like any of those dial a combo kind of things. Like I found it pretty hard to get combos off, actually, but that's because I sat down and played this for 20 minutes. So
yeah,
you know,
it is but there's some depth here if you want it.
Mm-hmm.
It also has a lot of narrative. like your characters have a story, and then the way that they save the world and such is important. Like there's a focus on narrative in this, which is interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
You can get this for 99 cents on Steam.
Yes, well. It's part of the Sega collection, like a wraparound game or launcher game that you can get, the Sega Classics. I wonder if that's the Genesis one or the Sega CD one that you get.
It's the Genesis one.
Yeah.
They keep adding things to that mm-hmm. launcher. So now I just looked at it and I was like, holy shit, like that right now, that whole thing costs 99 cents, but it's because, they'll do a discount if I get the ones I don't already have.
Oh yeah.
And I already have almost all of them.
Yeah.
So I forgot that I had bought this.
Yes.
Never wanted to play ESWAT. Columns 3. They made 3 fucking Columns games.
Yeah. People were insatiable. The entire world looked up and demanded, I want Columns. And they looked down and said, yes.
Yeah. They looked down and said, okay.
Yeah. yeah.
What else? There's also, I didn't know that there was another spinoff of this called The Experts.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Yeah, I'm curious about The Experts.
Yeah.
You only play as one of the, so, you know, there's Chicago, Chicago Connection or whatever, Chicago Syndicate.
Mm-hmm.
On the Game Gear, and then on the Genesis, there's Experts, and they're both like brawlers.
I can't tell which character stars in that. The cover is hilarious, though. It's got a CGI booby lady on it.
Apparently, you control 3 characters at once in real time.
Oh.
So I'm very curious.
It's like a Wonderful 101 kind of thing. Weird.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I got to check out the Experts.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all, you know, it's also a game called Experts. why would you name your Eternal Champion spinoff game that? Like, this doesn't tell me anything.
They're competent. They're experienced. Sorry, experienced.
Experienced. I wish I'm going to go on eBay. I've decided and see if I can get some of these Slurpee cups if they were like plastic.
Oh yeah,
because there was a Slurpee flavor called Sega Eternal Champions Cherry. they came in cups with pictures of the characters, and the bottom of the cup had a temporary tattoo.
I love that name. I love that name. It's like, okay, it's not just like, you know, Eternal Champion. Yeah, I'll have Eternal Champion. It's just a bunch of words in front of the actual flavor that you want.
Yeah, it's like, how is this different than regular cherry?
Nah.
You know, you know, it's not like I wish, you know, they made like Shadow Tomato, you know, or something like that. Like they made the flavors actually.
You peel back a sticker on the machine and you say, ladies and gentlemen, the 7-Eleven is a fraud.
Yeah.
Think is Eternal Champions cherry is actually just cherry.
There's very little Xavier Dragon Fruit in it. or Tridentines.
The Tridentine ice.
Yeah. Yeah. I like Trident. This game was also packaged with the Activator.
Oh yeah.
So the manual has a big section on how to use the Activator.
do we need to describe what the Activator is to people?
I guarantee you we do.
Yeah.
Like I bet you, I would say a large percentage of the audience don't know what the Activator is.
The Activator is like the U-Force.
Mm. It's a worse U-Force.
No other questions.
Yeah. Like someday, like abject suffering on hardware would be a fun.
That would, yeah.
Idea, or like a fun topics waff,
mm-hmm.
Like on that shit. But the U-Force was like a theremin that played Nintendo games badly.
Yeah, so like it had the form factor of like a laptop, and you opened it up, and when you moved your hands, like it detected the motion of your hands, and supposedly turned that action into input.
And the Activator was like taking that technology, making it into a little ring you stand in on the floor.
Yeah.
And then all 8 directions, you know, the cardinal directions and the subcardinal directions or whatever, mm-hmm. are each 2 buttons.
Yes.
Based on how far you go over the line.
Mm-hmm. So it was like it was like 8 IR sensors, shooting straight up from this octagon that you put on the floor.
Like absolutely horrible. It to duck with the Activator.
Yeah.
Was using the you know, the 4, 5, or 6 positions, which are behind you.
Mm-hmm.
If you go all the way back, you know, you either you squat, mm-hmm. you crouch, or you do your insult, your taunt. But if you go to the back left or back right, if you go a little bit, you pause. If you go a lot of it, you crouch. imagine.
Yeah. Tug the rope 63 times if you're dead. Tug it 64 times if you're alive.
Yep. Going to the right a little bit is to jump right, but to go a lot is to walk right.
Yeah.
That's like making each of these directions two buttons.
Yeah.
Is just absolutely.
Yeah. So wild. you lean to the northwest a little bit to format your saves. You go all the way to do a high punch. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like reset. So really, really fucking silly.
Yeah.
I also did not know that you had to turn on the activator before you turned on your Sega.
Okay.
So my cousin had an activator and never thought it worked, and now I think that was probably the problem.
Huh. So, maybe it was actually really good.
I doubt that. But I think that it was not working a lot of the time.
What Gary is saying is that secretly the activator is good and we should give it another chance.
Yeah, it's time to redeem the activator.
Yeah, what Gary is saying is that the Kinect is a step back to activator technology. We can get this and do this.
What Gary is saying is the Matrix sequels, the Star Wars prequels, Indiana Jones 4, and what's that, Mass Effect 3? I don't know. Are all actually good. Andromeda?
And Andromeda. That would be the one. That would fit the joke. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
This was included on the Sega Mini.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I played it a bunch when I got my Sega Mini.
Oh, nice.
Like, I like Eternal Champions, man.
Yeah.
Shit's good.
I'm surprised.
It's interesting too. Like, there are interesting moves and stuff you can do. Mm-hmm. Like in this, like things that don't you wouldn't ordinarily think. So, like for example, the Midnight, the vampire guy, has a move that drains life. Like takes his opponent's health and gives it to him.
Mm-hmm.
It's a throw, but that's really cool. He's like the only character with that mechanic.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I think this is actually really neat.
I mean, there are lots. I mean, you look on GameFAQs, there are a lot of, moves on these move lists.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're cool.
Hmm.
Yeah. Play some Eternal Champion right now.
Yeah. Gary, we need to talk about the way they changed the format of the review pages on GameFAQs.
Yeah, I was gonna mention, I wanted to ask if that was just me or if you were having that problem as well.
I'm having this terrible problem right now.
Yeah.
Which
instead
of having the rating on the right just as the hearts, it was like little pixelated hearts or stars on the right
mm-hmm,
to show hearts. What it is. Now they've got and instead of having it just be a table that has all the relevant information, you know, the title and then the person who put it up and the date, now they have it's like the worst email app for formatting.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the big icon at the left that is color coded. They changed it from the number of hearts that it gets to like a numerical, so a lot of people on GameFAQs like this game. You know, they're giving it fives and 4.5s and stuff. Like the lowest that it gets is a 3.5, but those are rendered as numbers.
There's a one.
Oh, I'm looking at the Sega CD one right now.
Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah.
But yeah, it looks bad.
Mm-hmm.
You also have to separate out when you do reviews, you have to hover over it and choose reader or critic.
Yes.
Reviews. In order to not get, you know, to actually get the good GameFAQ shit.
Yeah. The thing that I'm liking though, there's a little drop down here for sorting. So you can sort it by oldest or newest. Score highest or lowest or recommended or the author. So
yeah,
but that's cold comfort. I do not like this redesign at all. And
no, I would like to, I need to sort by abject suffering.
Yes.
Reasons.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go ahead and just take a glance here. So I was having a hard time finding a review.
Okay.
But I found one here to end on some GameFAQs gold, some mm-hmm. obligatory GameFAQs gold. I know we're coming up on time because it's a time thing. But there's a review of the Genesis version by Larson Tyler. For my 100th review, I pay homage to the game in which I debuted.
Oof.
So it's role-playing from the perspective of Larson Tyler.
Huh.
Yeah.
Good for him. Yeah. I like that. Yeah.
Also, check out this. Let me lay this sentence on you.
Okay.
I'm already 100 reviews. Man, I'm losing count faster than I can keep up. I'm losing count.
That would be hilarious if it was only his if it was only his 80th review. I can't believe this is my 100th review. I'm losing count.
Earth, world, there's only two things I hate, and both of them are dying twice. I'm losing count faster than I can keep up.
Yep. And we've got Casca Darkfire is just being benign at this point. Yeah,
at this point he's the water. it's kind of a bummer. I think this is very cute though that this person decided to RP as those things.
Let's see here, what else has Larson Tyler reviewed? Contributions. Oh, they've done guides too.
Yeah, they're a pretty big wheel down at the GameFAQs.
Yeah, like it's a bunch of Atari stuff is what they've done. So they've got 2600 and 7800 guides. Larson.
Yeah.
Hidden depths on Larson, buddy.
I want to see if he's reviewed the experts or the side scrolling. Yeah, he did. A game that was programmed by anything but.
Experts, okay, cool. Yeah.
So it's just like, as just in a vacuum, that sentence is also has that kind of like, there's all aching appeal.
Oh my God. This, the format change. So in the list view of like all the reviews, what they give, prominence is the title of the review and the name of the game is very small beneath it. Yeah, well, it's alphabetical, but the name of the game is de-emphasized. Ooh,
it's weird.
Yeah, they reviewed. Larson Tyler was one of the people who reviewed Chiller.
Yeah, so lousy, but he didn't like it. So lousy, it's scary. And the Maniac Mansion review is Maniac could be fun, definitely. I don't know.
Hey, Larson, I don't think you know what questions are.
Yeah, having a hard time here.
I mean, like, I understand that they are trying to do like the Robert Evans cadence there.
Sure.
Like, time of my life, you betcha.
Resident Evil 3 Nemesis. Somebody get this guy a new cable provider. Oh, because Starz Network.
Jesus.
You just have to do a little work to get into this guy.
He only gets to like 80% of the way there. Yeah.
Yeah. This is, it's like those British crossword puzzles where it's like.
Oh, the cryptics? Yeah.
Yeah. It's not quite a crossword puzzle. It's like a weird thing where you have to do a little bit of work yourself.
Yeah. Fuck that. I'm here to solve puzzles, not do the puzzle designer's work. Come on.
I'm actually 100% with you.
I had something happen. I just want to run this by you real quick. It doesn't have to be very long, and I don't know what it's going to. How long it's going to take, but I witnessed something when I was driving back home today. I went out and ran a quick errand. When I was driving back, I was stopped at a stoplight on kind of a country road coming into my town. And the car in front of me, it was what appeared to be like two teenagers, maybe late teens, early 20s, possibly mid 40s. There's a certain kind of like, you know, dirtbag kind of person who is really hard to tell their age because they dress up in strange clothes and have bad skin and stuff like that. But they were in a real beat up.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. they were in a real beat up, like Ford Focus. Like it was missing its back bumper and its fender and stuff. I'm just painting the picture here because it's relevant. We're stopped. The passenger opens up the car door and gets out and immediately like, you know, hair on the back of my neck goes up. Like, what's this guy doing? What's he doing? What he did was he went to the ditch at the side of the road, which because it's been raining was full of like water and mud, just like a bunch of muddy water. He jumps to the other side of the ditch, bends down and remember this is all during the red light, bends down, reaches his hands into the muddy water. And it looks like he pulls up like a bunch of mud or something like that. It didn't appear that he grabbed anything. He just like ran his hands through the mud, got back up, jumped back over the ditch, got in the car in time for the light to go green, and then they pulled forward and they were gone. So
he's mud fisting. Duh.
What?
It's what teens are doing all over the nation.
Yeah, all over the place. Okay.
I don't know. I actually don't know what he's doing. Yeah. I was really hoping he's going to pull out like a fish or something.
I was hoping so too. Yeah, I was like, I was hoping that he saw like a turtle.
Sure. And he wanted to rescue it or something. you know, and yeah, I don't know what that's about.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty weird. Free mud.
Free mud. So
there's lots of things you can say about mud, but it's basically free.
Well, you can make it. You can make it all your own. All you need is dirt and water.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
You freeze that shit, it'll last forever.
Jeez, oh, Pete. Yeah. So I don't know. I just wanted to put that to you and see if anything came to mind. It was very strange. Yeah. I don't know if they were just trying to freak out the squares or what, but
it's a very specific square freak out.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, I don't know what, like, usually when you freak out the squares, you do something that can be mistaken for something else. And this doesn't feel like it could be mistaken for anything. I don't know what the real world,
right,
you know, kind of corresponding action is.
I'm just going to put this out there to the audience. If they have any ideas, this is basically like Cole's yard pooper. And I've not seen, I have not run into any more yard turds this year. So
yeah, well, I stopped. If you know what's going on with Mudman.
Yeah.
With the cryptid Cole invented. The SCP.
It's quite warm out. It is summertime. And he was like basically clothed head to toe. He was wearing like a thick knit cap. And all that. Yeah.
What do you think the chances are that he was a worm that walks like a man?
I mean, I'm going to put it about 60-40 right now. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Just re-moisturizing.
Mm-hmm.
Had to get some like nutrients into his hand mouth.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. I was just hoping he'd pull up a turtle, but he didn't. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you never know when you're going to get a turtle.
No. you miss 100% of the turtles you never reach for.
you don't grab. You know, I keep putting my hands into to ditches and pulling out jack shit. You know, and eventually I quit. But that is a quitter's motto.
Oh yeah.
So thank you for recommending this. Who recommended this again?
This was. Sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah, this was David. Thanks, David.
Thanks, David. Appreciate you. I love this game. I'm gonna play it some more today.
Yeah.
Because I like Eternal Champions. I'm also gonna look up those other two games because I didn't know they existed. And I'm gonna search for Slurpee Cup and the game books and see if those are around. So you gave me a nice, like, fun little task list for things to do in between work.
Yeah.
Today, David. I appreciate you. If you like the show, please head over to patreon.com/duckfeedtv.
Mm-hmm.
Please leave us ratings, reviews on Apple Podcast.
Yep, that's a way to get extra episodes, 2 extra episodes per month.
Mm-hmm. And please have donated to Duck Fest 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Future perfect.
Future perfect. Time splitters. Mm-hmm. And until next time, Cole, fuck Gary. Well, Cole, it's the end of the episode. Cole. All right, Gary, what have you got for me this week?